Katie. I'm sorry I can't be there to see you. I'm just sorry. But please, please, whatever you might find, don't...
Hey guys, it's Michael.
And Camille.
And today, it sounds, we always have the same intro, guys, but this is our first time doing a podcast for Family Game Review.
The inaugural podcast.
Yes, Umro Uno. Forgive my Spanish, I'm horrible at Spanish. But, some may ask, why is there a podcast? There's like thousands of them out there. The reason why we want to do a podcast, and this is going to be a weekly podcast, is for parents to be informed and educated about games. Here in Family Game Review, we are not tied to any sponsors. We're not tied to any development companies. We do independent reviews based on independent digital and physical copies of games that are out in the market. We do not do reviews as many on like name brand or AAA titles like Batman, Halo, Call of Duty, and so forth, as there's a lot of sites like IGN, GameSpot, and so forth that do phenomenal reviews. Our goal is to educate parents on the gaming industry, what's in games, what games are appropriate for yourself and your family, from whether you're an old gamer to a young gamer. We also cover and specialize in special needs, from autism to Asperger's to cerebral palsy. We want to cover the gamut to make sure that when you're making an investment in a game, whether it's a digital copy to physical, that it is the right game for you and your family. Camille.
I believe that there's also another important aspect to the podcast, and that's that as parents, all parents are busy. Nobody can really take the torch on that one. All parents are busy, and the best way to make an informed decision about a game for your child, your family, or even yourself is to know about it and know whether it's something that you'll like and if it's worth the money. And sometimes there are aspects of games that you won't know about on the surface, and they may strongly conflict with what you desire in gaming or even your core personal beliefs. Yes, it does go that deep. That's why our inaugural podcast will be probably our most controversial one, I'm willing to bet.
Oh yeah. Like from talks I've had with parents in at like local game places and so forth, this is gonna be very it's not controversial in a bad way, but it's gonna inspire you to think, what is the level of storytelling versus how your personal beliefs are and what you feel should be and not should be in a game.
Michael and I were originally going to try and do this podcast in a traditional debate style, but I think that it's impossible to really look at the game from such a two-dimensional perspective, and so instead we are going to point out different aspects of the game that you may love and you may hate. That's why we're going to name different points, and each one of them will ring differently with you, and you be the judge based on all of them put together at the end.
Exactly. Well put, Camille. And again, guys, we're not getting paid to do this. We're doing this out of, you know, the ability for us to make sure we're informing other parents. And you know, we're not being sponsored. You know, visit our site if you already, you know, if you haven't heard the podcast from there at familygamereview.com. We're still putting up reviews. It's, you know, the dust is settling, but everything's finding a home. We try our best to do video reviews as well as, you know, other types of reviews. Again, these weekly podcast, we'll have specialists on here, we'll have doctors, everything. We want parents to be informed, because again, this is not like I'm 40 years old, and Camille, well, we won't ask her age, but
21 again.
Yeah, if you believe that, then you know that there's three beans in your backyard. But I'm kidding, Camille. But the thing is, this is not like in the day and age where I grew up, where Pong and Pac-Man were reigned supreme in the arcade, and there wasn't any controversy or any type of subject matter. If you ever played or even seen your children play games, they're story-driven. Now, there are games where they are considered like major blockbuster movie budgets when they're created. Pick up Grand Theft Auto, for an example, and you could tell, even though it's not meant for children, it is a highly story-driven game.
Definitely not meant for children. That's worth saying twice.
Yes.
getting back to Gone Home, no, don't buy Grand Theft Auto for your child. If you would like to know why, contact us, like the Gone Home podcast we're doing right now. It came from very, very high demand. Mike is now being chased down and hollered at as the review guy in local GameStops. So we've had so many moms and quite a few dads ask, you know, what's the deal with Gone Home? Is it good or bad and why? When are you doing the podcast? Well, now. The answer is now.
It's good to feel that you're getting called the review guy versus Hey Tubby in the at GameStop. So, you know, that's a move up. So, guys, this is where Camille and I are going to talk about this. I want you guys, before going any further in this, to keep a very open mind, okay? And I'm going to go over every point. I'm going to kind of be like a Jekyll and Hyde in this, being both a conservative and a liberal point of view of this game. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with that mindset, please just, you know, don't knock it till you hear every point we have and then come to a logical conclusion of what you feel is best. Now, that being said, in December 7th of 2015, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, with co-development by Midnight City, brought out a game that was originally on the PC from 2013 called Gone Home. Now, Gone Home is not one of your traditional style of, you know, Halo or Call of Duty or Grand Theft Auto or any of those major mainstream games. It is kind of more of the 80s style where it's a point and click and it tells a story. Something that's a rarity now these days if you kind of look at the gaming genre. Everything's now geared towards multiplayer. You rarely see a great single-player game that has a phenomenal story. And, you know, the Fulbright Company, I gotta give Steve Gaynor and company, you know, props. I've been a gamer all my life, and this game actually had me in tears cheering at the end of the game. It was, you know, it's a little bit of a heavy investment on, you know, the Xbox One Marketplace and PlayStation Network at $20, but if you're a gamer that likes a good story, Gone Home, in my opinion, is probably one of the better stories I have seen in the last 6 to 7 months. Camille, what do you think?
I would agree, and I'd love to throw the first curveball, if I may.
Please.
If you check Gone Home reviews on other major gaming review sites, you'll see a 2. That's a 2 out of 10. That's the first curveball. And the reason that I personally think that it got a 2 out of 10 wasn't because of necessarily the taboo subject matter that we're going to get to in a moment, but this podcast is so, I guess, subjective and sensitive and controversial. I actually have the Wikipedia page for Gone Home open in front of me, just to be that precise. And Gone Home is a first-person adventure exploration game. Now, I believe that the reason it got a 2 was because, and I experienced this myself, there were no jump scares. No zombies jumped out at me. No demons jumped out at me. When I turned the light on, there were no black silhouettes of what would be dead entities or anything like that. So when Michael first put in Gone Home, I was expecting the action part of that definition, you know, or adventure. And it was, I would have to say, the equivalent of Valium in a video game. Hmm. And as wacky as it sounds, I don't mean that in a bad way. This was an extremely calm game, but it had such a substantial story, say that fast five times, that you couldn't help but be sucked in the entire time.
And I agree with you, Camille. Without giving heavy spoilers to the story, where we kind of have to, but we're going to try to avoid it as much as we can. It's a story about an older sister coming home from, you know, traveling abroad in Europe, and her younger sister was supposed to pick her up. She had to catch a cab home. There's no one at home, and there's a note on the door from her younger sister.
Who is missing.
Well, allegedly, well, yeah, we'll leave it at that.
That's the plot. That's, you know, what you walk into and what you find in the beginning of the game. You think the younger sister is missing. You start looking around the house.
And you start finding clues of what happened. Mm-hmm. It's not, for parents that are thinking, oh, I don't want a scary game, it's not a scary game at all. Okay. Again, when I first picked this game up, I picked it up the day it became available on, if I remember correctly, early January of this year. I think it was January. Yes, I think it was January. So, any case, I picked it up. I paid the full price for it, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, if this game's going to be horrible, I'm going to give it a bad review. I sat down, and Camille has a tendency when she's off of work, you know, from our, you know, our day jobs and everything that we do, she usually lays down on our couch, and she usually goes to bed and, you know, lays down and so forth. But she was, as much as I was intrigued, you know, and I must have played through that night this game maybe 5 or 6 times.
And that was that night alone. And to give you an idea, I, without exaggeration, Mike has probably played through the game about 30 times now, if not more. And just today, with him playing through part of it again, I heard something, I picked up something that I didn't hear before in the game, and it's worth bringing up in the podcast. But back to you, Mike.
So, again, you know, the game is phenomenal. You know, if you haven't had a chance to pick it up, you know, this is where you may or may not want to choose to pick it up. The subject matter, especially, you know, at the time of this recording, it's, you know, May 22nd, 2016. You know, the game came out in 2013 on the PC, and it came out this year on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Especially with this whole debacle about, you know, bathroom usage and everything and LGBT rights and so forth. To kind of, you know, here's a spoiler alert. It's about a girl coming out. And actually, it's not even, I can't even say it's about a girl coming out. It's more about a girl falling in love in high school. Mm-hmm. And it's such, it's so beautifully told that you're going to say to yourself, okay, I don't approve of this because of the fact that it's about a lesbian story. And you're going to say, well, that's not appropriate for my children. But hear us out. And I know Camille's chomping at the bit to say, you know, speak on this. So, Camille, please.
I think, first of all, there are a couple of aspects that I have to address. One of them is being a stepmom to a preteen daughter. It's quite a window into what kids are like today as opposed to what we were like when this game took place. The Gone Home is actually set in 1995, which is cool for another reason, but that's in a moment. So, it's... I like the fact that, as Michael said, it was beautifully written. I think that... it's important because being a stepmom, I'm able, and being around so many kids all the time, I'm able to see how different they are. And my stepdaughter knows gay people as if they were just, you know, as if it wasn't even controversial. It wasn't taboo. It's just today for our kids, whether we want to admit it or not, whether we have extremist beliefs or not, or hardcore beliefs about whether it's right or wrong. The simple fact is that it's so common in our society today that for our kids, it's just another thing.
I agree.
It's not the elephant in the room like it may be for our generation or certainly our parents.
And I have to agree. I mean, my daughter, I mean, we're here in New York, New Jersey area, and my daughter's in San Francisco. So, in to her defense, you know, being San Francisco being the gay, one of the gay, unofficial gay capitals of the world, there's a more of a higher level of the LGBT community out there. So she's more exposed to that in her everyday life. Now, this is where I'm going to kind of play devil's advocate. If I'm a parent, And again, with whatever views I have on the LGBT lifestyle, whether I am okay with it or I'm not, is the question that kind of arises is that, is this appropriate for my child? And again, I'm going to play a little bit of the devil's advocate, like, okay, I don't want to buy a game for my kid, spend $20, which is like one third the price of a normal AAA title that you would find like at GameStop or Best Buy or, you know, or any other location. Do you want your child to be exposed to content that is LGBT influenced, or can you look at it and say, that is it a love story of a girl that fell in love with someone that is the same sex, and that, you know, that she made her choices and she did what she did by the time we reached the end of the game? And for me personally, I don't see it as an LGBT issue. However, when I was at my local GameStop today, two parents actually came up to me that know me very well and said, "Mike, I will never let my daughter play a lesbian game because I don't want her to be lesbian because she thinks it's cool to do it in game, so she's going to do it in real life." Where the parent of another, you know, the mother of another daughter said, "I let my child watch Glee. So this is nothing for me, you know, to allow my daughter to play it." And it was very interesting. Both mothers had valid points. And it was very interesting seeing this confliction, you know, from two different mothers on one subject.
And to that point, I would like to interject by stepping away. And I would like to remove any views or beliefs that I might have as a parent, as a mom. First of all, one thing I think that we can all agree on is that there are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people everywhere in the world, not just in San Francisco. So it's no different in the small towns in the Midwest. It is what it is. And so whether Michael approved of it or not, he doesn't really have control in 2016 over whether or not his daughter knows about it.
And can I interject real quickly? I may not have control of what my daughter sees, but again, playing devil's advocate, I do have control of what I purchase for my daughter to play.
Yes, you do have control over what to purchase, but even if you purchase nothing of any gay subject material in any way, shape, or form, your daughter is still going to be exposed to it at school and with her friends and on social media and mobile devices. So you can either choose to turn your back to it and pretend that it doesn't exist. Take the, what is it? The head in the sand, the ostrich.
The ostrich.
Peacock. Ostrich. And put your head in the sand. Or you can get a great game with a good story, fabulous story, and be a part of it. If you turn your back to it, you can't influence it. You can't discuss with your child what are their feelings about this type of thing and what are your feelings about this type of thing. It's a whole subject area of conversation and dialogue that is completely cut off. And that, I think, is where so much conflict and disharmony begins.
That I agree. Again, you know, I'm looking at this from the perspective of the first parent that says, I would never let my daughter play this. And you know, while I'm sitting in between two mothers that are looking like they're about to kill each other because of their opinions, I ask one simple question. Is your child on social media? Both of them looked at me and said, yes, my daughter's on Facebook, my daughter's on Instagram or Twitter and so forth. And I said, so they're already exposed to a lot worse than, you know, something of an LGBT matter. And it's not like the game does it in a tasteless manner. It's done very tasteful, where you don't start realizing what's going on in the game with the character's sister until maybe, what, halfway through the playthrough.
Well, I think it's important to mention one fascinating attribute of this game. You won't see a character.
Exactly.
Throughout the whole game. There's another curveball. You won't see a character. You don't even see your own hand as you're picking up objects and trying to piece the puzzle together of the story, because it's not blatant or in your face. You have to figure things out by collecting information throughout this huge, beautiful house, but it's all narration. You will never see a character. You will never go up to a character and have a conversation where they say, hey, guess what? I'm coming out. No, it's nothing at all like that.
And I agree with that, because it's rare in gaming now. You know, everything's all about glitz and glamour. How much explosions? How many polygons? Or is it in VR? I mean, this game goes back to its roots. Get a good game, get a good story, and you're going to have a good, you know, backing to it, and you're going to have a fun time. And you know, and the funny thing is, it's like, again, you know, there's so many other games that, you know, Camille and I talked about covering, but this one, you know, hit, you know, very close to us, and I personally loved it. Now, like how Camille touched on, there is no NPCs. An NPC is non-playable character. You'll see pictures. You'll see, if you're a 90s child, you will see a lot of memorabilia from the 90s, from Kurt Cobain to, you know, mixed cassette tapes, which I'm guilty of making many of, you know, to Street Fighter, you know, moves and everything.
I'm sorry. I Mike sees me. I'm making those motions. Yes. Like, hey, I have to say something. You know, you have to pick and choose what you can accept and what you can't in any situation. And one of the things about Gone Home is that it was set in the year 1995. And for a lot of us, that was roughly around the time we were getting out of high school.
Getting into college, or some of our older gamers were in college, some of our younger gamers were in probably junior high going into high school.
And one interesting thing I'd like to say about this game is that if ever I had to answer the question, what was everyday life like when you were my age, I would answer by playing this game, because you see what was our lives. Cassette tapes, homemade cassette tapes of grunge bands that were recorded in someone's basement, posters,
magazines, music magazines,
a record room,
VHS tapes.
Yes. A fax machine, an actual typewriter.
Yes.
Not a word processor, a typewriter.
For you millennials, there were things that had still ink in them that we typed with. So
remember when you ran out of the correction tape and you couldn't hit backspace, and that just ruined the entire report?
Yeah, I just went, the heck with this. I'm just going to write out the rest. If you can't read my handwriting, then...
That explains a lot.
Yeah, it does.
But I think that is one of the good things. It's, you know, I won't digress very long, but when Mike had to review Attack on Titan, because his daughter was a huge AOT fan, he did not necessarily accept the fact that, or like the fact that there was violence, that there were these huge skinless giants that supposedly ate the townspeople. But he saw that the main character was a strong, independent young woman that was a very good role model for his daughter. And that outweighed the fact that there were skinless, violent giants. And in Gone Home, I think that you have to take a similar approach, if you're able to, have an open enough mind and think about what things you like in this game and think that could be good for either yourself or your kid, versus is the LGBT issue that much of a game changer for you?
And for those that are of conservative thinking or of conservative themselves, you know, this is not a knock to you or saying, oh, you know, if you're conservative, you're a bad person. No, I have a multicultural family. I mean, for those that personally know me, you know, I have, you know, family members that are of different faiths, different religions. I do have family members, out of respect for them, that I'm not going to name, that are, you know, either gay or lesbian or somewhere which they are transgendered, but that's their life. And, you know, I respect that, and I still love them for who they are. If you go into this game, like I told the two mothers in GameStop, if you go into this game thinking that this is an agenda to turn your daughter into a lesbian, then you are going to miss the point. This is a beautiful story of a girl that fell in love and was scared to tell her love until... If, like, for people that are listening, when you first fall in love with someone, and like when I fell in love with Camille, I was scared to tell her. And that's when you play the game, you have that feeling like, hey, I like this person, but does this person like me? And you see this relationship and her feelings change, you know, through audio cues and through notes and everything you find in the game, till you find out what happens in the end and what it leads to the conclusion. And again, without giving a spoiler, it is a very beautifully told story. I know Camille's chomping here, so.
No, and Mike's absolutely right. I was terrified to express any feelings as well, and I think that's why we consider it a story. And for me, I just want to make one final point. If your child is watching YouTube, following modern day musicians, listening to the radio, the subject matter is along the lines of, hey, I met you 5 minutes ago, let's go find a room. Or, hey, I'm sorry I cheated on you, but can we just have one more romantic interlude? I'm cleaning it up here. This is what is in today's mainstream media. It's fast, it's easy, it's promiscuous, no matter what orientation it is, whether it's straight or it's LGBT. In this game, LGBT or not, it is a beautiful story, and it's not an obvious one. It's one that you really have to piece together, and that's the adventure of the gameplay. But I think that I would be more comfortable. I know that a child that age, from personal experience, a child that age had no question or doubt whatsoever about her orientation. So with that already being established, I would much rather her watch a game, or play a game rather, about an actual story of a process of two people getting to know each other before any of this modern day, you know, hey, I've known you 5 minutes and that's long enough type trend.
Mm-hmm. And I agree. I mean, and getting back to the game itself, it's like your character is a female, and it's kind of getting rare again in the gaming industry. And we'll do a future podcast about like male role models versus female role models and how they're portrayed in gaming. But this is one of those rare games where, and again, I've been a gamer all my life, I've played everything from every genre, where I've actually sat down and I've even spoken with my ex-wife and said, I'm willing to send you my Xbox One just so that I can let my daughter experience Gone Home.
And I would like to say that before you come to any quick conclusions about Michael's stance on this game, please keep in mind that we have been discussing this podcast for about months.
Yes.
At least before we sat down and are recording it for you now. So the conclusions that he's conveying to you from a personal standpoint have been considered, reconsidered, and reworked many times over the course of 3 months. So,
oh yeah,
a lot of thought has gone into this.
You know, we came into this podcast even moments before we started recording, where I'm like, you know, even if the developers are listening to this, which I doubt, because they're probably like, hey, we're already starting our next project. I didn't want to come off either bashing the game or praising it as the next, you know, artistic masterpiece. Am I saying it's a bad game? No, far from it. I'm actually going to do my review and give this a game a perfect 10. I know we're coming late to the party, but again, in this gaming age, it's either you're shooting someone, you're robbing someone, you're beating up someone. You rarely find a game now these days, and I challenge you to go to GameStop and try to pick out 20 titles that are on their wall that don't involve shooting, killing, beating up, or anything of a violent nature where it's an actual game where it's a good story being told. I challenge you, and I'm open to hear from others. So
one thing I did want to say from just a straight gaming aspect, if you're looking for something that's a little bit more on the artistic side, a little bit more on the, you know, outside the norm, out of the box, this is definitely a game for you, or if your child happens to be artistically inclined or definitely literarily inclined, if your kid is a big reader, writer, they're gonna love this game.
Yes.
Definitely.
And you know, for me to do a very quick review, and you know, you can always go to our site and read our, you know, my review, my written review, and we're going to do a video review on this. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to do a Twitch on this. I don't like to do Let's Play sessions because for indie developers, especially the ones that tell stories through their games, that Dragon Cancer, I mean, I don't want to mention another game, beautifully written story about a father and his child that was dying from cancer. And I feel the Let's Play sessions ruin it for others, as rather than you experiencing the game for yourself, you're watching someone else do it for you. However, in this instance, as far as I sound like hypocritical about this, I do want to show some chunks in a Twitch broadcast of why this game is so beautifully well done.
And also, you know, We want for the listeners of this podcast to come away more informed and more intrigued. You should definitely be more intrigued about the game. And maybe you were against it, but now you're considering at least checking it out for yourself before you pass it along to your child. Maybe you were not aware that this was an issue at all with the game, and maybe now it is something that you want to screen before you pass along to your child. The point is, if we have helped you to make a better decision, if we've helped to share some completely unsponsored, unbiased opinions with you about the game, then we've more than done our, I don't know if you can really call it a job, but a passion.
Yeah, I mean, And you know, the thing is, guys, in the gaming industry, I have a friend, you know, a high school friend that works for a major company. I don't want to name his name out of respect, you know, for his privacy. You don't see indie titles, it's called indie titles, but it's actually from independent developers, their titles get a lot of mainstream attention. Jonathan Braid that did, I'm sorry, I butchered his name, but he did a game called Braid. It came out in 2008, and it was a phenomenal storytelling. And only after many magazines covered it and you start hearing about it from others, that's when it started to get mainstream. But games now, especially with digital games becoming so easy for, you know, people to download on their newer gen consoles with the Xbox One, PS4, and the new Nintendo console, I'm assuming is going to have a lot of, you know, downloadable content and digital content. It's more important for parents to know, because it's so easy for their child or, you know, any member of your family to just go and click buy, and they could buy it and you won't even know what the game content entails until sometimes it may be too late. And you know, that's where, you know, that's where a lot of bad things happen at that point. But I also, and I know Camille's chomping at the bit again.
No.
Oh, okay. I do encourage parents, for this title especially, to play. If you are intrigued by it or you're curious about it, pick up the game. Pick it up from Xbox Live. You know, support the indie developer. You know, support the Fulbright company. And, you know, pick up this game. Even on the PC, you could go to Steam and, you know, pick it up. And we encourage you to play with your child. And that way, if any questions arise, you're more equipped to answer them. I mean, again, we don't want to tell you how to parent your child or what your belief should be, but we're also saying at the same time, don't knock this game because of the subject matter.
Absolutely, because the game, the gameplay, the format of the game, everything about the game is just great. Even if you just played it yourself, it would be just a really cool look back into 20 years ago and what our everyday lives were like. That in and of itself for me, it was a big attraction. That was really cool. But one thing I want to point out is that this game gets a lot of undue flack, in my opinion, for being a so-called front runner in games that contain LGBT content.
Yes.
Mike, I'm going to put you on the spot. I want you to name at least 5 games in which there is, not like Gone Home, a story, but I'm talking about actual graphic visual LGBT that you would a parent would never know about from looking at the box.
A couple of them, you know, again, a spoiler alert. I don't remember the character's name, but it's in Mortal Kombat. They actually introduced a gay character. You wouldn't even know that he was gay unless you paid attention to the storyline. A couple of years back, the whole controversy about the Mass Effect series, about turning your main character, you know, Commander Shepard, into having a same-sex relationship or anything of that sort. Those got attention because they brought into a negative light. But in the gaming aspect, you also have to understand, as you, as the gamer in that game, you're the one making the decisions. Mm-hmm. So you could turn a character into a heterosexual or homosexual, like in the example of the Mass Effect series. There's other games out there that do this. Again, you know, this is not about LGBT in whole, but this is more about the Gone Home game and how it covers an LGBT style of a story.
And my point is, you know, neither pro against, neither bashing nor promoting, but just pointing out the fact that probably quite a few of the titles in your collection at somewhere in the game have LGBT content, but as a parent, you may not know. And it may not be like other games where the player actually presses a button and makes the choice to engage in some sort of physical activity. This game is nothing like that. This game is all about the story. But don't think that your gaming cabinet or gaming shelf is free of LGBT content, because chances are it's not.
Mm-hmm. And again, with the $20 ticket price that you see on the PlayStation Network or Xbox Live, before you say, oh, $20 is too much, think of it this way. How much do you pay to go watch a 3D movie that's about an hour and a half to 2 hours long? Probably just as much, right? So, you know, if you want, and again, we're highly encouraging for you at least to try it out, try the game. It is worth the price. It is worth the time. Believe me. I rarely, you know, and you may hear me bash games, you may hear me say the praise some games, but this is one of those games in my collection that even months after I beat it, I still go back to it, and I enjoy it every moment of it.
First of all, would like to thank everyone for sticking with this for so long. This yes. was, you know, it's definitely a touchy subject matter in our society today. I think that the ultimate point that we want to drive home, no pun intended, about Gone Home, is that as far as the game itself is concerned, our rating is a 10. We're giving it a 10.
Perfect 10.
But we're doing this podcast and some special review effort because you as a parent or as a family or as a gamer have the right to know what that game is about.
Very much so. Again, guys, I know this podcast is going way over the 40-minute mark. We were just intending to just do a 20-minute podcast, but You know, we thank you guys for listening, staying with us. If you guys already not added us to your feed for podcasts, do so. You can reach us at www.familygamerreview.com. On Facebook, it's Family Gamer Review. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. Oh, my God. Our marketing person put us everywhere, didn't they? So, we're always open to comments and suggestions or even questions. Anything you guys want to ask about this podcast or even about Gone Home, you know, hit us up. Let us know.
Or if you'd like to run across a parking lot and yell, hey, are you the review guy?
Yeah, not Tubby. So there you go. So again, guys, thank you so much for being here. This is Michael.
And Camille.
For Family Game Review. And you guys have a great day.
Take care.